Hello and welcome again to the OatHealth.com Heart Health Podcast. Joe, and thank you for joining me again on episode number 12, August 10th, 2009. For show notes and support materials for everything discussed in today's episode, please visit www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. And in today's show, we have some recent news and recent research. The recent news today is a study that shows that monkeys fed an American diet get fat. There you go. You know, we're also going to take a look at some of what we looked at the last podcast and review barriers to our healthy lifestyle. And the research for today is beyond established and novel risk factors, lifestyle risk factors for cardiovascular disease. This one really revisiting some of a lot of what we've been talking about and really highlighting a little bit more of the imbalance in information that we seem to get on a regular basis. And so, you know, that's what we're here for, too, bring a little bit of balance to that. And so let's go ahead and get started today's podcast. Okay, and so today's research, we have a comes from WebMD. Study shows monkeys under long-term stress put on belly fat get heart disease. So yeah, in this study, they take a bunch of monkeys and they give them an American diet. And lo and behold, these monkeys get fat. I don't know if we're surprised when we see something like that, but that's kind of what I would have expected to happen. So I'm really not sure why we're torturing monkeys with the American diet anyways, but this is a study that kind of takes a look at that. And one of the main parts of this study is really to look at not only, obviously, that American diet is not really doing well for these monkeys as far as weight, but also the effect that stress can then add to that. So, you know, living the American diet and eating some of the things we're doing is not good for us, but then you add to that stress, and that overcomplicates the issue as well. And so a lot of these monkeys were getting belly fat. Belly fat is definitely associated with heart disease at this point. So the stressed monkeys were getting more belly fat, and also along with that, had more blocked arteries. And one interesting point as well that this brings out is that female monkeys are similar to male monkeys in the fact that they get less heart disease than their male counterparts. But when we add stress to the equation in this study, actually those benefits or the lack of heart disease in the female population went away. And so the stress kind of negated the female's lower risk advantage that they had over the males. And so, you know, kind of interesting, once again, just reminder for me that the American diet is really not doing well for us. Overall, I'm definitely not anti-American. I'm definitely pro-American, but part of that being pro-American is trying to bring some awareness to what we're doing to ourselves with this diet that we're eating on a constant basis. So this study was interesting. Once again, the link for that is on our website if you want to check that out. www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. And so, you know, last podcast, we were discussing a little bit about barriers to healthy lifestyle and just becoming more aware of them and just realizing what can be in our way of getting to a healthier lifestyle. We've talked a lot about what are the advantages of a healthy lifestyle, what are some of the positives, what are some of the things that are already playing into that. And then we want to get specific to ourselves and find out. And, you know, for myself, I have been keeping track and trying to find some of those barriers, and some of those they're easier to change than others. So one of the barriers I run into is that in the morning I'm having a hard time getting out of bed, so I can get a little more exercise time in. I think if I got out of bed earlier and be able to get that exercise in, be a lot healthier and just overall. And then one of that's hard to overcome is sedentary job, sitting at my desk all day. You know, I kind of joked with Matt last time, got the resistance bands out and started using those in my chair and just making sure I get on that walk, that 3 o'clock walk for our break, and just some of the other things I've been able to incorporate. But overall, I can't really go in and just upheaval my job and change all that. So some of these we can change a little easier than others. You know, I was flipping through some of the research and actually came across an article that helped make me a little bit more aware of a barrier that I think that I hadn't been thinking of before. You know, when I started the process of saying, hey, we should look at barriers, this wasn't one of the ones that came up in my mind. But this article really helped to highlight that, this research article. You know, we're just constantly, it really brings up that I think it highlights part of what I see on a daily basis. And I think we've talked about in this podcast that we're constantly being bombarded with messages that are looking to influence us towards bad health decisions. And we're not hearing many messages that are moving us towards good health. And this study even highlights a little further and really talks about the fact that the medical establishment and the medical society is really being bombarded by an imbalanced message as well, and maybe giving too much of a one-sided message and not really focusing on the full picture of what can be beneficial in decreasing our heart risk. And so this research, is the title is Beyond Established and Novel Risk Factors, Lifestyle Risk Factors for Cardiovascular Disease. It was done in 2008 and was published by the journal Circulation, which is from the American Heart Association. And so this is, you know, when news like this comes from a major source, that really to me is exciting, because I'm not the only one saying it, or, you know, some of the people that are more health-minded. We feel like we're saying it from our side, and this is really coming from the other side, it seems like. You know, from a major medical journal, from obviously the American Heart Association, major player in the medical system, and some established as far as like policies and some of the things that are out there. So to see this come is really kind of exciting to me when I was reading this. I hope you get a chance, you know, visit our website and get on the link here, read this. We're just going to highlight it here today. But there's just so much good information, I felt like, when I read this, that really speaks to the situation that we're in right now, and really speaks to this imbalance. And so the focus with this one is, you know, healthy lifestyle we know strongly influences cardiovascular disease risk. And it affects many different established risk factors as well. So we know that the healthy lifestyle is good, but beyond that, it also, you know, influences our cholesterol levels. It affects our blood pressure. It affects our blood sugar. So there's a lot of positive things that come out of healthy lifestyle as well, besides just lowering our risk for heart disease. And, you know, the paradigm seems to be right now focused on risk factors like high blood pressure and cholesterol, diabetes, those things that can be modified by medications. And all those drugs do seem to affect some of these markers, they don't really have the anticipated results that are expected. So if quote from here is, for instance, although diabetes mellitus and elevated glucose levels clearly predict coronary heart disease risk, lowering of glucose by drug treatment generally has not produced anticipated reduction in coronary heart disease events. And so that'd be like heart attack. So this article really speaks to the fact that we're not really looking at is lowering blood sugar, or lowering cholesterol, or lowering blood pressure, are those the most effective ways to reduce the risk of heart disease? And are they the most cost-effective ways? And, you know, they really cite in this one the fact that there is some other influences here at work. Really the fact that, you know, the fact that we can make money off a medical system which has some positives, but also can have some negatives. So, you know, here's a quote from this article: "Is the strong influence of pharmaceutical dollars and advertising in this process can be overlooked, and cholesterol lowering and blood pressure lowering medication are consistently among the world's top selling drugs." So there are other motivating factors here that's bringing a bit of an imbalance to how do we look at heart disease and reducing the risk, and how do we bring the risk down. Is it the main focus to bring down all these factors that can be affected by drugs? Or is there more of a lifestyle factor, more of a diet factor that should be involved all around? And so that's a lot of what they were addressing with this research. It kind of looks back over a number of different researchers, and it's just really as a review of all the information that's available when we talk about heart disease risk and cardiovascular disease risk. What should we be focusing on? Where should our energies go to try to figure out how to reduce risk? Should they be on the medications? Should they be on the healthy lifestyle? Should it be a balance? Where does it start? So that's really what this study was looking at. And one of the main concerns stated in this paper was really that our focus on risk factors that are modified by drugs has taken our attention away from the underlying causes of heart disease. And then quotes, you know, as underlying causes, some of the maybe the poor dietary habits we have, the physical inactivity, smoking, things that are related to a healthy lifestyle. And so it just becomes really cloudy when we focus on things that are not necessarily the underlying cause of what's going on with heart disease. And so, you know, it really speaks to as well. They kind of talk to the fact that, you know, drugs can't be a replacement for a healthy lifestyle either, because of the fact that healthy lifestyle really affects more than just one risk factor at a time. And so while cholesterol medication, it seems to have some other effects, its main focus is really lowering cholesterol, where a healthy lifestyle can affect much more at one time. And so because healthy lifestyle affects so many factors, drugs fall short to address the insufficiency of an unhealthy lifestyle. And even looking at it, if you're on medication, an unhealthy lifestyle still increases your risk for heart disease. If you're going to have an unhealthy lifestyle and still stay on the medication, your risk is still increased for heart disease as well. And we really see this play out over and over again in different cultures, that healthy lifestyle, you know, those that the cultures that adapt to healthy lifestyle have less obesity, have less high cholesterol, less hypertension, less diabetes than industrialized populations. And we see even over the, you know, we've kind of covered this before in our podcast, and you look over the broad spectrum of things, and genetics don't seem to have as large of a role to play either. And so, you know, coming down to it, healthy lifestyle, really this paper is kind of pointing out that it needs to be more of a focus of where we spend our energies on healthcare. Yeah, so we covered it in a podcast just previously, but I'm going to do it again. We're going to go over some of the benefits here that, you know, so this one's kind of highlighting some of the benefits of exercises, what we just did in a previous podcast. And so I'm going to read right off the sheet here. Physical activity raises high-density lipoproteins. That's the good cholesterol. Lowers the bad cholesterol. Lowers triglycerides. Lowers blood pressure. Improves fasting and glucose, insulin, homeostasis, which is the balance of insulin in our body. Induces and maintains healthy weight loss. Improves psychological well-being. And likely lowers inflammation. Improves endothelial function. And facilitate smoking cessation. So altogether, these benefits have been shown to have a 30% to 50% lower risk of cardiovascular events for those who participate in them. So they don't really have the anticipated results that are expected. So a quote from here is, for instance, although diabetes mellitus and elevated glucose levels clearly predict coronary heart disease risk, lowering of glucose by drug treatment generally has not produced anticipated reduction in coronary heart disease events. And so that'd be like heart attack and the like. So, you know, to completely rely on that becomes difficult. And besides that, the research out there is really done on pharmaceutical trials. They've shown that, you know, lowering blood pressure and lowering cholesterol can be effective for lowering risk of heart disease. But also that they show that such results do not clarify, this is a quote from them, such results do not clarify whether focus on blood pressure or blood lipid levels is either the most effective or most cost-effective. So this article really speaks to the fact that we're not really looking at is lowering blood sugar or lowering cholesterol or lowering blood pressure, are those the most effective ways to reduce the risk of heart disease, and are they the most cost effective ways? And you know, they really cite in this one the fact that there is some other influences here at work, really the fact that you know, the fact that we can make money off a medical system which has some positives but also can have some negatives. So you know, here's a quote from this article, is the strong influence of pharmaceutical dollars and advertising in this process can be overlooked, and cholesterol lowering and blood pressure lowering medication are consistently among the world's top selling drugs. So there are other motivating factors here that's bringing a bit of an imbalance to how do we look at heart disease and reducing the risk, and how do we bring the risk down? Is it the main focus to bring down all these factors that can be affected by drugs, or is there more of a lifestyle factor, more of a diet factor that should be involved all around? And so that's a lot of what they were addressing with this research. It kind of looks back over a number of different research, and it's just really is a review of all the information that's available. We talk about heart disease risk and cardiovascular disease risk. What should we be focusing on? Where should our energies go to try to figure out how to reduce risk? Should they be on the medications? Should they be on the healthy lifestyle? Should it be a balance? Where does it start? So that's really what this study was looking at.